right, welcome to part four and the conclusion of our series, Brand New. And just really excited about this series, and also very, very excited about what's coming next week with our launch of our small groups, and just want to encourage you in that. I know you just heard the announcements on that, but I just want to highlight that. Get into relationship with one another. I'm telling you, I truly believe it's the backbone of our church, and we have some small groups planned that we're going to showcase next week, so it's going to be an incredible week next week. You don't want to miss that. And also, there may be people that are interested in that are interested in actually leading a small group, and that opportunity still exists. Now, we've kind of locked in on some small groups, but it's not too late. And there may be some that are really interested in that. I encourage you in that. And there's actually inside your worship guide, there is a list of some small groups that we have planned. And so be sure and utilize that so next week can come and ready. But we're actually going to have some tables and showcase all that as well. And then I'm really excited about what follows after next Sunday, and that is our very first Wednesday service. It's going to happen on February the 4th. And I really want to encourage you in this, to come and to be a part of this if at all possible. It's going to be at 7 p.m., and it's going to be what I'm calling a believer's service. And the reason I say that is Sunday morning is all about offering the cup of salvation. I think if you've been around here a while, you understand that and know that. And so it's not about us, it's about them. But on this Wednesday service, it's going to be a kind of a service that it's just going to be more believer-oriented. We're going to have communion, which we know that is for believers. We're going to have a more extended time of worship. It's just going to be an awesome time together. And so it just encourage you, really make sure that you come and invite others to come as well to that first Wednesday service on February the 4th. Just want to encourage you in that. Well, let's get right into our message today. Inside your worship guide, you'll find some message notes. Encourage you to take those out and look at those. And in fact, I encourage you to use those that we've been offering each week, because actually in this series, we've been presenting some checklists in the form of questions. And so there's times in our life where we kind of really need to realign ourselves. And so even throughout the year, those are questions that you can come back to just to kind of realign yourself and understanding that, you know, we begin this year with resolutions sometimes, and we find that resolutions really don't work. Resolutions are when we're trying to change oftentimes an outward behavior, when really that doesn't fix the problem. We're trying to fix it from outside in, and as we're discussing and we're presenting in the series, it's not an outside in scenario that we need to be looking at, but it's really inside out. You begin with the spiritual, and when you begin with the spiritual, the inside out, it has the ability to change everything, because this is what we're showing, and that is that we are not just temporary beings on this earth. We are spiritual, eternal beings on this earth, having this earthly, temporary experience. But when we begin with the spiritual, understanding everything comes from the spiritual, it affects all areas of our life. We can't just change our habits, but when we begin with the spiritual first, it has the ability then for us to change our habits and break bad lifestyles. It has to start first. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. So what we're showing is that is, you are a spiritual being first. You are a spiritual being first. And when you realize that, it has the ability to impact every area of your life. And so the first week, we really tried to fire up in you understanding that you are a spiritual being, and to fire up your spiritual life and get the spiritual life on track. And the second week, we talked about the fact that we're always trying to fix, oftentimes, especially at the beginning of the year, our physical fitness aspect, and we're addressing our body. But we looked at the fact that we have to, again, there begin with the spiritual, understanding that our body is actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that we are made up of three areas of body, soul, and spirit. But the spirit, if we get that in tune with God, it has the ability to affect those other areas as well in our life. And then last week, we did a practical message dealing with money. And we found out, guess what? Money is also spiritual as well. And we understand that when we put everything in order spiritually, financially, we begin to get our house in order and things line up. And it produces something we call peace. And that's what we all need. In fact, I want to encourage you, and that is that if you look in your small group directory there, we actually have two opportunities this semester to be a part of Financial Peace University. It's a course that's offered by Dave Ramsey, and Dwayne Dunham will be facilitating that here on Thursday nights at 7. Dwayne Stone, the Dwaynes are in this, you know what I'm saying? Dwayne Stone and Karen Stone are going to be facilitating this in South Charlotte, in the Pineville area at Light of Hope Church there on, is it Monday nights at 7 o'clock? And so if you're on that side of town, be sure you get in on this. I have taken this more than one time. The good thing about it, you pay your tuition, and guess what? It's a lifetime guarantee. It's a lifetime membership. And so be sure and connect with that, because we all need financial peace. Just a little plug there. But so the first week we talked about new faith. The second week, new fitness. Third week, new finances. And today, our subject matter is new friends. With this idea, and that is that, guess what? Relationships are spiritual. Like we're talking about everything being spiritual. Relationships are spiritual. And so the question of the day is this: why are relationships spiritual? And so we're gonna look at that and understand that day, and I believe we're going to give you some stuff that's going to knock your socks off. I mean, God's Word is powerful, and it really reveals some things all about relationship. And so I believe today, as we receive the Word, I believe your life has the potential to never, it has the potential that you'll never see relationships the same in the same way ever again. I believe it's really going to affect you and going to help your life today. And so let me just start with our foundational verse that's there in your message notes. I encourage you to use those. And just to let you know, it's going to take me a while to get to that first line. I think I make some people nervous, like, you're not even to your first line yet. Well, today is one of those Sundays where I'm going to build a little bit, so just relax. We'll get there, and we'll cross the finish line on time, all right? But then in this first part, I just got to lay some foundation that we're going to just build off of, okay? And so let me just begin with this foundational verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says, when someone becomes a Christian, and a lot of times we have different ideas of what happens when somebody becomes a Christian, but here's what really happens. It's not just external stuff, but here's what happens. He becomes a brand new person inside. That's where spiritual change and all change takes place. And it goes on to say, he is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. So we think that when you come to Christ, it should change. Something should change on the inside. You're a new person. In fact, the Bible describes it that way. And so today, as we look at relationships and how that all relates to relationships, let me just kind of lay something out here. I want you to look in the very beginning. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. And let me just set this up. In the beginning, God created everything. We know that. And he created the earth. And he began first with the inanimate objects that had no brain. And then he started with the stars and the universe and the solar system and all of those things. And then he moved to create life, the things that have life, such as plants and animals and people. And look at what God said in verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and I want you to file that, seed-bearing plants, because that's important, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, and get this, underline this, according to their various kinds. Just underline those words, according to their various kinds. And here's, let me just pause right here and say this. When God creates the thing, now notice what he says. He created trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. All right? Everybody with me? So when God creates the thing, he wasn't just creating the thing. But he also created inside the thing a seed to create more things. Right? Inside the thing, he created the seed to create more things. And how could he create things according to the various kinds if those things were the first things created? And here's the deal. He shoved into the first tree created the tree that's in your yard. You know what I'm saying? He put in those first things the seed with the ability to reproduce. And so God didn't just create the first tree. He created the forest and a generation and generations of forest. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, and it's good, all right? Let me just build this. He put in a seed. Now, we know what a humongous, magnificent oak tree looks like. He put that big oak tree, get this, inside of a little acorn. Isn't that awesome? Isn't our God awesome? He crammed a whole oak tree inside of a small seed. That's what our God can do. Isn't that crazy? But that's the way God designed this thing. In fact, one of the attributes of God is that he's omnipotent. That word omni means all, and that word potent means potential. It means all potential. And so in all living creation, God put a potential inside of them. He didn't just create the thing. He created everything that will ever live inside of that living thing. Are you following me? He said seed will produce after its various time. Look what he goes on to say. And it was so, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed, underline it, according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, underline it, according to their kind. So he gave them the ability to make more like it. And then God concludes it, and God saw that it was good. This has all been part of God's design for living creation, for living creatures. He wanted them to multiply. And he put one little vehicle in the multiplication process in all these creative things. And that is, in order for them to multiply, they would have to become intimate. All right? Trees have to cross-pollinate. Humans, it's required that they become intimate to produce, to reproduce. And so God's intention was, listen to this, is that wherever there is intimacy, there is reproduction. That was his design. And so everything that becomes intimate reproduces. Oh, this is so good. Y'all just buckle your seatbelts. We're going somewhere. Just hang on. Everybody, hang on. Here we go. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And so what God was saying as he created this, all this it is that we know is life, look at this. He put a piece of himself inside of us. He put his spirit in us, and that separates us from other living things. Animals, it's said that animals have soul, and you have to understand what I mean by soul, and that is that they have emotions. Your dog has emotions. Cat doesn't have emotions, but your dog has emotions. I'm just saying. Plants, you can see them grow, you can see that life happening. But there is a third part that he put in man called the spirit, and he put his own seed inside of man, and his seed was put inside of man so that it would have the potential to reproduce. Oh, this is good. And look what he goes on to say. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now notice this. The first word that God said to man, now they're when you study scripture, you understand there's a law of first mention. When something's mentioned for the very first time, it has great importance. This has double importance because it was the first story and it was actually the first words that God spoke to man. The very first instructions out of God's mouth to man was this: to be fruitful, to multiply, to reproduce. He said, go, reproduce. Some of you have taken that to heart. Some of you are, you know what I'm saying. You know, some of you are doing your part. But actually, literally, what he's talking about is not just the physical. Now, God knew that the physical, that biological reproduction was going to happen. But what I want you to see this morning is it's so much more than that. He also knew that there would be a transference of spirit of who you are. The life of who you are, the gifts that you have, the nature of who you are, your temperaments, that there would be a transference generationally. And this was always God's hope. In fact, he is so generational that he thinks this way. He is relational. And he is orchestrating his entire kingdom through this series of strategic relationships. Relationships are no accident. It is God's design. And he's trying to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish on this earth through relationships. The most important decisions we have to make on this earth have to do with relationships. Because this transference, this reproducing, there's actually a reproducing not just of our physical DNA, but there's a spiritual DNA that there is a transference and a reproduction that's happening all the time. And you can say, well, I don't agree with that. It don't matter whether you agree or not. It's happening. It's happening every day. There is a reproduction of your life, whether that's positive or negative. And so there's a reason, though, when you look at transference and how all this works in our relationship, there's a reason. You can see occupations run in families. We can see temperaments and attitudes being handed down. We can see an impact. And even when it goes to the next generation, there's actually a double impact that happens. You see that being magnified when one generation does it and their children continues that. It actually becomes magnified. And that's, and listen, that, so God understands that there is this transference, there's this reproduction process that happens. And let me just tell you something right here. That is why the devil loves to get in the middle of your relationships and mess that up. That's where he likes to strike the most. If you're going to have trouble, it's going to be in your relationship, because what he wants to do is cut off the blessing of transference from God, and he wants to cut that off and mess your life up. Is anybody getting this morning? In fact, you look at generational curses that are handed down. You see parents that are abusive, and I understand, and this blew my mind when I heard this, that 97% of children that are abused then go on to abuse themselves. They abuse their children. It is passed on. And so we know in the Scripture, it talks about the sins of the father would be passed on down even to the fourth generation. And you're saying, well, why is God that mean? Why is he wanting to, why does he do that? Why does he curse the fourth generation? It's not that he curses the fourth generation. He knows that there is something already in motion. There's a reproduction process in motion that started by you, and it continues on. It's not something he did. It's something that happens because of the way this is set up. And so when God talks about in Scripture that he visits the sin to the third and fourth generation, it's basically a statement of truth that sends down through that transcends down through the generations. And so here's the good news. Because of that, that's why. You say, well, why is God so mean? God's not mean. That's why God, this is the good news, sent his son Jesus Christ to step in and to break the generational curse and step in and break the power of sin off your life so that you can be set free, so that his positive blessing process will continue from generation and his mercy continues from generation to generation. Amen? That's why he sent his son Jesus Christ, to break the generational curse of sin. I mean, in Malachi, we read it's all about relationship. In the last book, and we just read from the first book of the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, talks about how that God hates divorce. And some people say, well, why is God so hard? Why is he so critical of divorce. But there is a reason for that, and it's actually found in the very last verse of Malachi, which is the last verse of the Old Testament. When we talked about the law of first mention, how important that is, it's also important when you hear the last words that's spoken in the last chapter of the Old Testament. It has significance as well, and this is not in your message notes, but I want to give you this, and that is that he says that he will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to their parents. He says, we got to get this right, this relationship thing right. That's got to change. That's got to turn around. Something's got to happen where these relationships have got to be mended and got to be healed that are messed up. And that's why that ends the Old Testament. But thank God there's the New Covenant, the New Testament that came. And that's where Jesus Christ came. And he stepped in and he said, I'm the answer to all that. I've come to break the curse of that. And I've come to give you a new beginning and a new start. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. I'm telling you. And Malachi is a prophetic book. It's a prophetic book. And there's actually only four chapters in it. And really, there's one question that's being asked in Malachi, and it's saying, where are you, God? Where are you? I mean, where are you? We look around in our world, and it's messed up, and we could say the same thing. Where are you, God? Why is the world so messed up? Why have we got all these problems? Maybe in your own personal life, where are you, God? And so they're asking this question, but we see it being answered. Look in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. Look at what's said here. And this is the second thing you do. It says, you cover the altar of the Lord with tears, weeping and crying, so he does not regard your offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. And yet you say, for what reason? Why, God? Why are you removed? Why is it that you don't receive my offering? Why is it we come we're trying to follow you. And here comes the answer. And he says, because the Lord has been witness. In other words, what he's saying here is, the Lord is watching. He's watching your relationships. He's watching how you interact, because that's important to him. And then we underestimate how important relationships are. And he says, the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, which is one of the most important relationships that we have, with whom you have dealt treacherously. You've discarded it. It's not that important. It's disposable. He says, but yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. He says, but did not he make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? Now he's speaking of this seed that he has put inside of us. And he says, and why one? And look at this. He seeks, underline this, godly offspring. You see, God's not just concerned about your marriage. He's concerned about your children. I spoke with someone not too long ago. It was actually a couple that I married. And that couple has since now separated and divorced. And a friend of hers was talking to me about the situation. And I said, it grieves me. They got two little kids. I said, it grieves me. She said, I think the kids are fine. I think actually they're better than, you know. And I said, no, they're not. No. Now, I don't know the situation of all the details in that home, but, and I understand in an abusive situation, I'm not encouraging that. That's not what we're talking about here. But what I'm saying is, we underestimate the impact to our children and to our children's children. Come on, somebody. We did a series not too long ago about choices, and it was that you choose life that you and your children may live. It affects your life, how you live, your choices, what's important, what's your priorities. It transcends. And so so look at what God's focus is here. He seeks godly offspring. That's what God's after. You see, God's building a house. He's building it through relationships. And he says, therefore, take heed to your spirit. So he's talking about the spiritual, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. He said, go back and get your relationships right, and then we'll talk. Come on. I've talked to people that poise themselves as being the super spiritual, and yet I know they've got relationships where they've stiffed arm for no reason. And I'm telling you, God says, I'm taking note of that, and that matters to me. It's of most importance. And so here's what I know, and that is, and I'm not presenting to you this morning that we're perfect, okay? I mean, nobody's perfect. No home is perfect, you know. I mean, look, just to let you know, in my house, we don't go home and I stand in the corner and I preach to my house. No, that does not happen, okay? I'm just saying. You know, when I go home, you know, I deal with the same issues that you deal with. I'm real person just like you are. And on my kids, I'm thank God they're loving God, they're loving the church, you know, but the verdict's still out. And you know what I'm saying? It's still out. It's still out on all of us. But so we have messes and things are messed up, I know. But here's the good news. The next book after Malachi is that Jesus was born and that Jesus came to give us hope. And then get this. The last thing that Jesus said is, and here's the thing. We're talking about last words. Those are of most importance. And then what's very interesting is the last thing Jesus said after he was crucified, raised from the dead, you know, he went around in a glorified body eating food and walking through walls, you know, and showing himself to people. And then he ascended to heaven. We call it the Great Ascension. And the last thing he said as he was being ascended from the Mount of Olives was really, he was repeating Genesis chapter 1. He says, multiply. He says, go, make this up. He says, now that I've come in, because you got a mess in your house, you got a mess in your life, but I'm stepping in the middle of that, and I'm breaking the power of that generational curse over your life. I'm coming in, I'm breaking the power of sin in your life. I'm coming in, I'm giving you a new start, a new beginning. I'm calling it even being born again. You're a new creation. I make all things new. He says, now I'm giving you a do-over. And now he says, now that I've put my good seed in you, and I've stepped in, and I have broken that curse of sin, and I've put my good seed in your heart, he says, now go out, multiply, and make disciples. That's what he said. Go make disciples. What is he saying? Let that seed reproduce in your life. And so there was this transference. God has always understood. It's a transference of the spiritual. And relationships are spiritual. So there's your first line. Now we're ready. Relationships. Say, hey, we got there. Relationships are spiritual. They're spiritual. Jesus has the power to break the curse of sin. And he has the power to make you brand new. And so relationships are spiritual. Your relationships at work, relationships with your friends, your relationship at church, those relationships are spiritual. And relationships, if when those relationships get close, there is the potential of those relationships becoming intimate. And intimacy will result in reproduction. And so there is a spiritual aspect to this. We're not just talking about biological. We're talking about the spiritual. And so relationships are spiritual. Second point there is that relationships have lasting impact. Here's the thing. Good or bad, those relationships have the ability to reproduce. Good or bad, reproduction is going to happen. And here's what we know. Your life will be shaped by the people in your life. Your life will be defined by the people in your life. Show me your friends, someone said, and I'll show you your future, right? It's the truth. It's the truth. It's happening and you can't stop it. And so God took a great risk. He took a chance on my dad to make an impact in me, and he took a chance in me to make an impact in my sons. Are y'all getting the weight of this? How powerful this is. And so there's transference of either a blessing or a curse, right? Whether we're following Christ, doing the right things, or we're not, and we're passing that on. So relationships have a lasting effect. Third thing is relationship choices are critical. They're critical. I mean, if you really want change in your life and you're going to a gym and you want to work out and you want to get yourself in shape, you know what I encourage? You might want to get in a relationship with somebody and have an accountability partner, right? You might need a coach. Don't try to do it yourself because studies show you're not going to make it. You need somebody to partner with you. So, and if you decide I'm going to pray and I'm going to commit to prayer, you might want to get a prayer partner, okay? You might want somebody to pray with you, or it may be that you don't have to physically be together, but you need to hold each other accountable. Prayer part. That's why you need to be in a small group where we have, you know, encourage one another, because that's the way God designed all this. Not to be islands to ourselves. Heard a minister years ago was talking to a guy who was just kind of out of fellowship with God, and he was they were kind of huddled around this little fire, and there was coals there in the fire, and it was burning. And while they were talking, the minister reached over, and he just kind of took some tongs, and he pulled one of those coals off by itself and just didn't say anything and just let it sit there. But after a while, he pointed out to the man he was talking to, he said, "I want you to notice this fire, how all those coals are still burning, but look at this one that was pulled off here by itself. It's cold, and it's out. It burned out." So I'm going to encourage you, stay in relationships. They're extremely, extremely important. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 says, "A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses." Parents, we need to be careful of the friends that your kids choose. In fact, I think you need to choose them for them. Oh, how can you be that controlling of a parent? I believe you have a responsibility. And I believe, listen, I don't have any daughters. But let me tell you what it would look like if I had daughters and they want to date a guy. Daddy going to approve them. Daddy going to approve them. Right? Come on. And daddy's going to say yay or nay. And if I have a good relationship with that daughter, I would think she would be saying, you know, if daddy don't approve, bye, see you, your history. You know, I don't know, would it work? Does it work that way? It should work that way. I'm not saying you have to put a gun across your lap. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's your greatest investment. It's your offspring, for crying out loud. Sometimes we protect their investment of what's sitting in our driveway more than what's sitting on the couch in our living room. Come on, somebody, right? We need to make sure we're guarding those relationships. Those are so extremely, extremely important. And so we need to make sure. And so if we want our habits, want our addictions to change, we need to get into right relationships. All right? So I've given you a checklist over the last several weeks regarding our physical, regarding our finances. Let me give you a checklist real quick. Number one. Am I nurturing important relationships? That's your blank there. Am I nurturing important relationships? I mean, am I feeding that thing? I mean, this comes to my mind when I think of nurturing. Am I babying that thing? Come on, I've heard that baby talk between couples can really work. You know, come on, honey, buy a sugar baby. Come on, somebody. Come on, they'll look at me all super spiritual. Nurture that relationship. The important relationships, this and this, which is the ones that's closest to you, is what the devil is attacking. He's attacking those relationships because, listen, here's the deal. Those relationships aren't necessarily where we've left them last. We think we start out in marriage, you know, and it's there, and then we just don't maintain, we don't nurture that thing. And I want to tell you, if that's the case, that relationship is not where it was when you left it. You need to be nurturing that thing. So today, I mean, even in this message, there's some seed being sown right here in this place. But here's what happens. By the end of the week, it's already diluted because you're not in relationship, not in the right relationships. You're in all the bad relationships out there, and it pulls the life out of you. And the devil comes to rob it and steal it and say, you know, when you make commitments, that's not going to last. That's why you need to get in relationships, right? Don't be a Sunday Christian, but spend time with God every day. Nurture that relationship, right? Nurture that relationship. Spend time with God. Fellowship with God. Walk with Him. I mean, God's spoken to me during this 21 days of our prayer and fasting, which, praise God, what a great time we had yesterday in the final conclusion of that. But listen, today's 22. We need to keep going, right? Amen. We need to be talking to God 365 days a year. I hope that in 21 days, they say 21 days is about the time it takes to develop new habits. I pray that you've developed a new habit and that you've fallen in love with fellowshipping with Him and that you'll be in His presence every day. Come on, everybody. I mean, God spoke to me during this thing and he reminded me of Daniel. Buddy, you need to be praying in the morning. You need to be praying in the noontime. You need to be praying at the end of the day and everything in between. You need to be praying. Bible even calls it praying without ceasing. Come on, right. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. I mean, don't be a Disney World kind of dad. Every day, spend time with your kids, right? Spend time with your kids. And that means sometimes, and I've got to say this right here, sometimes you got to say no to some people to say yes to your kids. That was good. That was for me, if nobody else. All right? You got to spend time with your wife. You know, you've been married for 25 years. You know, don't just say, well, I know I got her. I got the plaque on the wall. I got the, you know, I got the certificate. She's mine. I got the ring on her finger. Her ring's on mine. We're good. No, buddy. I mean, men, put some lips on that thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, just nurture that thing, right? Come on. Are y'all with me today or not? Can I get a good amen, ladies? I mean, you know, show some love. Show some love. And can I just go a step further? Go ahead and show it in front of your kids. I'm just saying. Kiss your wife in front of your kids. Let them know you love them. The most best sense of security they'll have is to know that mom and daddy loves each other, right? Good preaching. Let me just pat my head. Amen. All right. I mean, one day I'm going to take us through the, you think this is not appropriate for church? One day we'll go through the Song of Solomon. I would love to go through the Song of Solomon. I keep thinking, is this the time? I don't think it's the time yet. But I would love to go through the book of Song of Solomon because it's racy and it's real. And it tells you really how this thing is supposed to work. But anyway, let me just give you this. Let me just give you this one. Some marriage builders, since we're talking about nurturing our relationships. Some marriage builders. Let me give you some. Love God first. Because if you love God first, right, you're going to love each other, right? That's what makes it all work. Start each day with a hug, right? Say I love you every time you part ways. Compliment freely and often. Live each day as if it's your last. Go on a date every week. Stop and smell the roses. I might add, send some roses while you're at it too. That wouldn't hurt. Kiss unexpectedly. Apologize sincerely. Be forgiving. Guys, let her give you directions when you're lost. Ladies, boy, I hit a nerve there with somebody. Ladies, laugh at his jokes. All right? Guys, ask her to marry you again. Ladies, say yes. Right? And never go to bed mad. I mean, come on, everybody. Put a log on the fire because relationships are not where you left them last. And the devil's working overtime, and many times we're not. Is that good? Life is so much better when our relationships are working. Galatians 5 says this, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Get this, guys. This is the word of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to say, if you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So put some time in it. Nurture it. And most importantly, nurture a relationship with God. Say, I don't have time to do that, Pastor. Guess what? God takes shower prayers, okay? Pray when you're in the shower. Come on, guys. Spend time with God, right, everybody? Number two, am I severing harmful relationships? Am I severing harmful relationships? There are harmful relationships. Listen to this now. This is important. If you don't sever it, you're going to get close, and you're going to get intimate, and you're going to reproduce. That can be physical, and it can also be spiritual as well. So there are times in our life where we need to sever harmful relationships, because you get in that relationship that's not a good relationship, you're going to reproduce, and there's a process in motion that you can't stop. So let me just say this. To young people, you need to get away from those relationships where you're in a relationship where somebody's wanting you to compromise. You don't need to go there. I mean, come on, somebody. That's pulling you down and pulling you away from God. You think, well, I just need somebody. It doesn't matter. That's most important. Let me tell you what needs to be most important in your life. If you get God most important in your life, everything else will work itself out. And you don't want to go the route where you're not under His blessing. Are you hearing me? So there are harmful relationships sometimes that we compromise, and I see God working in people's lives, and sure enough, here comes another person getting in that person's life, and here they go, because they value that more than the relationship with God. And I want to tell you, you need to get it in order. There are relationships that will pull you away from God and pull you down. There's young ladies oftentimes where a guy wants you to do something and compromise your values, and I want to tell you, you need to say no. You need to cut that off and sever that relationship. And if you don't have the ability to do it, some of you ladies, if you're in that kind of relationship, I don't know who may be here in that kind of relationship, call me. I'll take care of it for you. Okay, I'm just saying, as your pastor, I'll put them straight. Come on. No. Can't touch this. You know what I'm saying? You know, just draw a line, right? Say no. I mean, some of you at work, listening to dirty jokes and all that. You need to draw a line. Because, listen, there's a transference. Are you hearing me? This is good preaching, y'all. There's a transference, and it will reproduce. It will reproduce. Spiritual. There's an intimacy that will reproduce. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. So oftentimes even the decisions we make on Sunday morning, we get out of here, we get in a bad relationship, and it corrupts even those decisions. Proverbs chapter 13 says this, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. Right? So that's why I'm saying your relationship, your kids, the relationships they have, it's important. Who they date, it's important. You know why? Guess what? When they marry that fool, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to call anybody a fool. When you marry that person, guess what? They're going to be sitting at your Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to marry them too. Those kids, they're going to be your grandkids, all right? So what I'm saying, relationships are extremely important. I mean, you think, well, you're being harsh. You know what? The Bible has a lot, and I didn't give you all the verses here, but there's a lot of verses that talks about this. The Bible says to stay away from the lazy. The Bible says to stay away from the angry. The Bible says to stay away from the immoral. The Bible says to stay away from the greedy. The Bible says to stay away from the unbelieving. All that is in Scripture. I could give you the Scriptures for that. The Bible has a lot to say about relationships. Proverbs chapter 12 says this, a righteous man is cautious in his friendships. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? That word yoke is actually the word koinonia, which means having common fellowship. And all I'm saying is there are some relationships that are harmful that need to be severed. Third thing, am I initiating meaningful relationships? While there are relationships that need to be severed, there's other relationships that need to be built that we need to have in our life. And oftentimes we're avoiding some of those relationships that we actually need in our life. And I'm just going to plug right here, small groups. Get into small groups. Get into relationships. Get close to somebody where you can get in relationships so close that you can share with them something that's some area that you're hurting, some area, some secret area that you've not been able to share with anybody, but you got close enough now where you can trust somebody that's spiritual, that can help you and can pray with you and see you delivered. And the Bible even says this, pray for one another that you may be healed. That's the way God set this thing up. And so get in relationship. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24 says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Dwayne, would you help me close this thing out? Listen, the most important relationship that you can have in all the relationships is the relationship with God, right? And when you get that relationship, guess what? When you get this vertical or this horizontal, let me get this right, vertical relationship straight, the horizontal relationships will work themselves out, right? Amen? It's just so simple. This is the way God set it up. The most important relationship we have is with God. Let me close with this scripture. John chapter 15 says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Do you hear? Do you hear the heart of God? He says, I just want to be your friend. In fact, God says, I want to be your best friend. I want to walk beside you. I'm telling you, I don't know how you talk to God, but there's times in my life I'm just walking in a bad place, and I'm out in a public place, literally walking down the street saying, God, I just need you to hold my hand right now. I just need you to walk beside me. I need you to be close to me right now. God, I need to feel your embrace. God, I need you here with me. And I want to tell you, through my whole life, I have discovered that he's always there. He's always there. He's as close, one song says, he's as close as the mention of his name. You just breathe his name, he's there, because he has this promise. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Can we bow our heads today? God, thank you for your word that's powerful. Thank you for your desire to have relationship with us. Today, God, we just come before you. And we thank you that you are after us and you care about us. But God, many of us have not done it right. We've got relationships that are not right. Relationships, God, that are strained and that need to be healed. And God, we've perhaps not realize the importance, the magnitude of that, and how important that is to you. God, we may come and we may say we're messed up, and how do we heal that? But Lord, you've stepped in. Jesus, you've come. You've come, oh God, to break all that and give us a new beginning. And I thank you for that today. And I pray in this house that there be healing of relationships, but most importantly, that the relationship with you would be healed and be restored. Right now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The Holy Spirit, I know, is speaking through His Word today into hearts. If God is speaking to you today and you're saying, that's me, I know I'm not where I need to be in my relationship with Him. I believe God is calling you to an intimate relationship with Him so that through you He can produce life. Through you He can produce peace. Through you He can produce His blessings. And so today maybe you're in this house and you know there's some area of your life that you're just not in right relationship with God. I want to give an opportunity for you to make that right by leading you in a simple prayer. Today you may be praying, coming to Christ for the first time, or you may be renewing your commitment, or maybe that you've been going through the church motion, but you know that intimate relationship is not there like it needs to be, and you need to renew that. I want to lead you in a prayer today, if any of those apply to you. And as I pray this prayer, I'm just going to help you with the words, but if you pray it from your heart, I believe that God will come in, and God's going to come in relationship. He's going to come in, and He's going to be personal. He's going to be real today. He's going to reveal Himself, and He has the power and the potential to break the past and start everything anew in your life. If that's you today, when I pray this prayer, and you say, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you include me in that prayer? Right now, very boldly and courageously, would you just slip up a hand? I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Just God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you. So proud of you. Thank you for your courage today. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand. See, I see the hand, but God sees the heart, and God knows. God knows every detail. He hasn't missed a beat. He understands. And today, He's personal right now. He's personal. And so I want us to just get personal with Him and just offer up this prayer to Him. From your heart, just pray. That's you today. Just pray this prayer from your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my heart, and I invite you to come in. I want my relationship with you to be right. Forgive me for my past. Forgive me for my failures. And yes, Lord, even forgive me my sins. Come in today. Cleanse my heart. Heal my heart. Come on the inside of me and make me brand new. Today I commit my life to you. And by your help, with all my heart, I will follow you all the days of my life. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your healing. I accept your restoration process in my life. I accept your love. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.